The otter shook himself like a dog and shrugged off the packs he had been burdened with.
Whew, wretched weather. Wonder when this rain's due to stop.
He sat up against the right wall, peering out.
Come on, Horty mate, where have you got to?
Fenner joined him.
I hope he's all right.
Springald rose and began to wander off to explore the big cave, but Bragoon pulled her back.
You stay close up here, miss. We don't know what might be back there. Can't risk a fire either. Too dangerous. Break out some victuals. And if they're still dry enough, and a drink too. Funny how you can be out in the rain all day and still be thirsty.
The mousemaid found dry oat cakes and some crystallised fruit, which they washed down with some home-brewed cider. Fenner stared out into the persistent downpour, then jumped slightly as thunder boomed out overhead. Sorrow patted her shoulder.
Not to do but sit and wait, matey. Don't fret now, that young rogue'll make it.
The squirrel maid forced a smile.
If he's not here soon, I'll light a fire and make a pot of soup. Horty can smell victuals a league away. He'll show up then, I wager.
She sat miserably, pondering the foolishness of her statements. Horty could be lying slain out there in the rain. Horty staggered gamely on, the three rats not more than 6 paces behind him. They had picked up their spears again and thrown them at him several times. With the courage of desperation, the young hare, having managed to avoid the throws, remained unscathed. Birrug and his two rats had left the spears where they fell and carried on stubbornly pursuing the fugitive. It was only a matter of time now, and they would have him. As the high captain blundered forward, Horty moved out of his reach. With his tongue lolling, the rat gasped out,
"We catch ya!"
Horty stumbled, tripped and wriggled out of his reach. Gaining his foot paws, he stood panting.
"Couldn't catch your old granny, slubber chops!"
He blundered on another pace or two, then collapsed. Birrug nodded to the other two rats.
"Get him, now!"
All three crawled forward on their bellies, reaching out to lay paws on the fallen hare, when without warning, the hillside gave way, sliding down a tremendous avalanche of wet sand. It enveloped the three rats completely, burying them under a huge mound. Horty lay at the edge of the mass, covered right up to his neck. He was trapped fast. A paw, almost the size of his own head, seized both of the hare's long ears and yanked him out with one mighty pull. Horty revived with the pain, his eyes flickering open. He stayed conscious just long enough to see a lightning flash illuminate the head of a giant badger with a scar running lengthwise down its striped muzzle. The young hare blinked.
"Nice weather, what? Oh, cocks."
Then he passed out. Only the Dibbons slept upstairs in their dormitories that night, while every other Redwaller guarded the barricades. It was the longest, saddest night Martha had ever witnessed. The still form of Junty had been wrapped tenderly in blankets and borne down to the place he loved best, his cellars. Clearing the barrels and lifting some floor stones, Form Old Dwirl and his crew dug a grave for the good cellar hog. Junty was laid to rest. Once the grave was filled in and the flooring stones replaced, Abbot Carroll took a charcoal and wrote words upon it. At some later day, the moles would chisel the words into the stones as a permanent epitaph for a beast whom all Redwallers loved dearly. Tears often smudged the charcoal letters as Carroll wrote,
"Here lies a fallen warrior, slain by vermin whilst helping his fellow creatures. Hard working, good and faithful. A credit to his kind. Always a kind word or smile to all. Junty Cellar Hog, keeper of Redwall Abbey cellars. His October ale was the best. Rest peacefully, old friend."
Above stairs, Martha rolled her cart around Great Hall, relieving those who were wearied. When she was not doing that, the tireless hairmaid helped Grandmum Gerville to ferry food from the kitchens. Torren watched Martha. She was never still, always finding something to do for the common good. He halted the little cart with his rudder.
Come on, Beauty. Time you took a nap, or you'll be worn out.
Martha protested.
I'm fine. Honestly, I am.
But deaf to her pleas, the otter cook opened the lap rug and tucked it beneath the hair maid's chin.
No arguments now. I'll wait you if you're needed, miss. You stay out the way here, in this quiet corner, away from broken glass and sling stones.